Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yankees, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And I'm your host, Don. Thanks for listening. Today we have a packed podcast. I'm going to be discussing Rutgers football, which lost to Michigan after having a very good first half and a terrible second half. Rutgers basketball has a very good start to the season, winning on Monday night. The Rangers need a kick in the ass. Something's going on with them. And the Yankees, well, they better wake up fast and build a better team. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and get started with Rutgers football. Rutgers lost to Michigan. Of course they did. 52-17 at home this past Saturday. Rutgers actually played pretty damn well in the first half and actually led Michigan at the half 17-14, if you can believe that. However, the second half was pretty devastating. Gavin Wimsatt had three, I guess, crippling interceptions, although one of them was off the hands of Cruikshank, even though it was a tough chance. He's blamed for all three. You know, unlike Noah Vedral, who never seems to get blamed for any interceptions or passes off, you know, any receiver's hands, it's amazing how critical everyone is of Wimsatt at this early stage compared to other Rutgers quarterbacks. I know he has higher expectations, but I really think people are getting it wrong, although he certainly has to work on his accuracy, Wimsatt, and decision-making. There were some things that really hurt Rutgers in the second half and really throughout the game. Rutgers had zero running game the whole game. I mean, really just awful. Nothing. They couldn't get a yard ever. So the entirety of Rutgers trying to move the ball down the field was 18. He just turned 19, actually. 19-year-old Gavin Wimsatt trying to throw against the number four team in the country over and over and over and over when they know he has to throw because we had zero running game. So, you know, raise your hand if you can figure out how that's going to go. Wimsatt also had very little wide receiver help. Now, we have Ryan, who sort of emerged this year as a pretty good wide receiver, and I'm very happy to see that. He kind of came out of nowhere, Ryan. But other than that, we don't really have any receivers that can make plays. I know Cruikshank is there, but, you know, other than being fast, he doesn't really scare anyone, and he drops balls. And, you know, right in this game, he had a ball off his hands that went for an interception. They need wide receiver help. They need some people that can make plays, and they need a running game. Now, they had a running game earlier in the season with Sam Brown, but he's obviously out for the season with a devastating knee injury, and that just crushed Rutgers. Rutgers has not looked the same since Sam Brown went down. They need a running game, and I like Manungai. Not as much Salam, but you know, our offensive line has to do a better job of creating some space for the running backs here. Again, this result, losing to Michigan, even 52-17, was expected. And I was talking to some people and thinking about expectation because a lot of negativity came out after the game. Going into the game, if you said you lost by 35 to Michigan, you know, would anyone have blinked an eye? But it's amazing after the game how negative everyone was. And I'm thinking, you know, suppose it was flipped, right? Suppose Rutgers was down by, you know, say the second half was the first half, right? And then in the second half, we scored 17 points and outscored Michigan 17-14. You know, would the thought of this game and how people perceive it, you know, be any different? And it probably would. There's certainly a recency bias, and the things we see last are the things we remember. And Wimsatt's interceptions and just a lack of complete and total defense, which isn't talked about here, right? Now, conspicuously absent from any discussion about this game is Rutgers' defense, right? Which is very good. But again, you know, 52 points here. Certainly the turnovers played a fair part in that. But nonetheless, you know, Rutgers didn't give up 52 points of interceptions, right? So in any case, Michigan is better. This was expected. And the key point to take out of this is Gavin Wimsatt needs time. So as we think of Gavin Wimsatt, it's hard to know if he's going to be as good as we think he is. But thinking of Gavin Wimsatt, think of it this way. Two. Think of the number two. Wimsatt has now played a total of two full games. Okay, two. I'm not going to count coming for a series here against this team last year, coming for a series or two here. Don't give me that shit. That doesn't count at all. I mean, to assess a quarterback, you need to look at how they play in a full game. So he just turned 19 last week, right? So he has started one game as an 18-year-old and one as a 19-year-old. And he's you know, a freshman. He's got three more years of eligibility left, right? Two. He's played two full games. And he's played against Minnesota, who is one of the better defenses in the Big Ten, and Michigan, who is the number four team in the country. And, you know, there's some real negative talk about him. And certainly there's work to do, right? He throws high a lot. He has a very, very strong arm. But, you know, obviously his decision-making and, you know, maybe his accuracy. If I see him a little more, I can tell you. But certainly his accuracy doesn't look like it's there now. But I think we just need to pump the brakes a little bit. He just turned 19. Two. He's played two games now, guys. Two. I know it seems like more because he gets in for a series or two with the shuffling quarterback horseshit that was, you know, Gleason. Two. He's played two games. So, you know, development, particularly for quarterbacks, takes time, right? And really for the whole team, right? As we assess this Rutgers football team in Greg Schiano's, what is this, third year, right? The recruiting is way better than it's been before Schiano, right? But again, you always have to understand that Rutgers, in my opinion, is in the best division of the best conference in the world here, right? The Big Ten East is the best division of the best. We have to play Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan every single year. Name another school somewhere that has to play three schools of that caliber every single year. Try it. And I'm not talking about other people in the Big Ten. Around the country, three schools equivalent to Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State every single year. And there's other good teams too, but just talking about the best of the best here, right? So you have to keep this in mind when it comes to digging Rutgers out of the hole that it was with the Ash era, which just left it in a graveyard dumpster fire for Schiano. I think it takes time. I mean, it took a lot longer than this the first time Greg was here, and we were in a much easier conference, even though the Big East was better. You know, back in 2000, you know, they were a decent team, a decent conference. The Big East was not near what the Big Ten is now in terms of overall talent. And even back then, it took Rutgers and Schiano, I don't know, 5 or 6 years to get really, really competitive. Well, I say 3 or 4 years to get competitive, and then 5 or 6 years to actually get good, right? It's only this has been 2.5 years, right? We haven't really done much here, right? It's been 2 years and I don't know, what, 8, 9 games? We have to calm down here, right? We have to understand the challenges that were inherited by Schiano. And we have to look forward and try to keep an even keel about this, right? It takes time to build a football team. It's not like basketball where you get one huge scorer, you know, some 6'8" power forward who's tremendous, and your whole damn organization in basketball could turn around. It doesn't work like that for football. I mean, if you got a spectacular quarterback, maybe you could do something if you have a great line and good receivers and a decent running game and a fair defense. You know, it takes a lot in football, a lot. And when we're in the best division of the best conference in college football, you need a little patience, right? Again, it took a long time, you know, when we were in a conference like the Big East, it's going to take maybe the same time or a little longer here. So let's just pump the brakes and let's not panic and let's see what we actually have in Gavin Whipsett and see what we need. And it might take a little longer this time, but we have to, you know, exert a little bit of patience here as we move forward. And that's all I have to talk about with Rutgers football. And I want to move on to Rutgers basketball now. And for Rutgers basketball, I just want to talk a little bit real quick. Rutgers basketball cruised past Columbia. Their season opened on Monday night. They ended up winning 75-35. The game was actually fairly close at halftime. I think it was 31-21. And for folks looking for these games, it's only on BTN Plus, which is a streaming service. It wasn't on any traditional television station that you can get with cable or satellite. So you actually have to stream it. And it might be worth it for folks considering it, right? You can just select a single team option, pick Rutgers, and pay like $9.99 a month. You probably just need to pay for 1 month. I think 5 or 6 games in the first month are on BTN Plus. $10 is probably worth it to see about 6 games. So watching the game, it was interesting. There was a lot of good and a little bit of bad. Cliff Murray was great. As always, although he did have 2 fouls, that was a little concerning. He's not one that generally gets in foul trouble, thank God. But it was good to see that he actually, played really well. And in spite of a few fouls, you know, we had no problems overcoming Columbia. We also have a newcomer. His name is Cam Spencer. He's a transfer. He's a senior. And he was really, really good. Spencer is a guy that is really needed badly for Rutgers. He can shoot twos, he can shoot threes, and he can actually make free throws. Imagine a person on Rutgers basketball who can actually make consistent free throws. I like his arc, the arc of his shot. You know, I like his release. He seems like a shooter, and we haven't had a real shooter in a long time. We've had many playmakers, right? We've had Gio, we've had Harper, Cahey and a couple others, and we have McConnell, who's obviously a big defensive player. I never liked McConnell's offense. And by the way, I should mention in passing, Caleb McConnell is still out hurt, and he may be for the next couple games. So they cruise past Columbia without Caleb McConnell. But this Cam Spencer looks to be the perfect addition, in my mind, to this team. He has a great stroke, as I mentioned, and he also happened to be the best defensive player on the court. And he had six steals, and he made some great plays and guarded people well. So we'll see. Again, it was only Columbia, so it's hard to kind of get a real assessment here. But, you know, looking at Spencer in game one, when I heard about the pickup, I thought it was fantastic. And just seeing it in person, I think it's exactly what we need, because we haven't had a pure shooter on the team in what's forever. And, you know, even some people will say Gio was, but he trailed off the last year he was here and didn't make as many shots. Gio Baker, the shot maker, you know, wasn't quite that last year. Also new to the team is a freshman. His name is Derek Simpson. Speaking of Gio, Spencer looks athletic, and he looks honestly just like Gio Baker. He has kind of the same build, the same like high hair, and he even wears Gio Baker's number zero, right? He's a little smaller, I think, than Gio, but he's got a lot of jump. He seems extremely athletic. And he looked really good. He made a couple of good assists. He didn't shoot particularly well, but it was his first game. He made a couple buckets, and he looks – I have high hopes for Simpson. I think he's going to be one of the first people off the bench. I hope so anyway. So the two, I think, key additions this year are going to be Cam Spencer, who is great, and Derek Simpson, who is, you know, the new Gio Baker, even though he's probably not the shot maker that Gio was. A concern for Rutgers basketball – continues to be the friggin' free throws. They were terrible. Again, terrible, terrible free throws. And that's not a great sign for Rutgers. We have to find a way to actually improve our free throws. And honestly, with Pikel, I love him. He is one of my most favorite coaches ever of any Rutgers team. Basketball, football, anywhere. Pikel's tremendous. But year after year after year, our free throws seem to be wanting. And I got to think there's something the coach can do to help improve that, even if it's hire someone else who helps improve free throws or something, because it's not one person. It's not one team for 1 year. It just seems, I mean, he's been here 7 years, and I don't remember a team that could shoot free throws in 7 years. So something has to change with our free throws. We are not going to win crucial Big Ten games later in the season by continuing to miss free throws. I know at one point we were 1-for-7 on free throws, and I don't know what we ended up, but we sucked on free throws. It was not good. As for Rutgers basketball overall, though, good start. It was only Columbia. We had an incredible second half where we outscored Columbia, you know, some ridiculous amount. It was like, you know, 45-12 or some ridiculous thing. It was nuts. But it was good to see. It was a good start. We've had problems in the beginning of years recently as last year. We had all kinds of struggles with the same kind of teams. A 305th ranked team last year we lost to. We struggled and had to win in overtime against, you know, another 235th ranked team. I can't remember the names. They're not coming to mind now. But we've had real problems in the beginning of the past season. So 1-for-1 here. We have a couple other what should be patsies coming up. We better be 3-0, you know, surely. And we'll see. But good signs. Good to have Cam Spencer on our team. And freshman Derek Simpson also played pretty well. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to the New York Rangers now. So I don't know how else to say it, but the New York Rangers need a friggin' kick in the ass to get moving. And so far this year, after what was a very fast start, this team does not look great. I had very, very high hopes after the first week or two for this Ranger team, especially coming off what was a fantastic year last year, which I think they probably overplayed they probably, you know, two games from the final, I think they were, you know, above where they probably should have been. But still, the expectations were high. And there's a couple of reasons why we're really, really struggling this year. We blew another two-goal third-period lead last night against the Islanders and lost 4-3. It was just an awful loss. And there's a few reasons for it, and I'm not going to get into much about the Rangers here because it's November. But, you know, Igor is playing fine, but certainly he's not playing great. You know, he was the Vezina Trophy winner last year, and he absolutely is not playing Vezina Trophy winning goaltending this year. And that's a big part of it, I got to say. And he's not playing badly, but he's certainly not making the big stop in a big spot. It's not like he's given up bad goals, but certainly it is not the same as it was last year. And I guess to put a fine point on that, we actually seem, when I step back and look at each game, almost every time after the game, I can step back and say, we got out goaltended that game. And I almost never remember last year saying that. Maybe once or twice when Igor was in goal last year, I would say, you know, the other goalie was just better in a rare case. And even in those kind of games, it would be Igor was really good, but the other guy would just stood on his head. In this case, I think every single game that Igor started this year, we were actually out goaltended. And again, that's not to mean Igor was poor, but it means he was not as good as the other goaltender, and that's saying something. When you have the Vezina winning, you know, goaltender on your team, he needs to goaltend and stop pucks like that. And that's number one, a big part of the problem. Number two, our 5-on-5 scoring again is really weak and needs to pick up. We have a strong power play, but 5-on-5, again, when you're the bottom of the league in scoring, Zibanejad has very few 5-on-5 goals. Kreider has very few 5-on-5 goals. This team needs more urgency and needs to pick it up. And I don't know what it is, but certainly we're weak 5-on-5 and not as good as we need to be in goal. Kreider, for example, was demoted to the third or fourth line, you know, by Gallant the other night. And he is not on the top line as of this podcast recording. He's been with Zibanejad forever on the top line, but the end of the other game and this whole game against the Islanders on Tuesday night, he was not on the top line. The Rangers continue to keep blowing third period leads, which they never did last year. They were so strong holding on to leads, and again, I'll tie that back to Igor. Like, giving up goals in the third period is, you know, nothing Igor did very often last year, and maybe the defense ties into that. Certainly, Trouba has been fairly poor defensively. We also had Lindgren out the last couple of games, and he is one of our staunchest defensive defensemen. But as a unit, I don't think the defense has been playing as strong this year overall as they have last year. And I guess the thing is to keep in mind it's early. You know, it's November, right? And there are signs of trouble, you know, to see. It is November. But we've played enough games now. It's not two or three games, right? We played, I don't know, 13, 14 games. There's signs of trouble here, right? And the Rangers need to right themselves ASAP. You know, certainly Lindgren being out isn't helping the situation, but they need to play with a little more urgency, and they need a friggin' kick in the ass to get going. That's all I have to say about the New York Rangers. I do want to wrap up with some discussion real quick about the New York Yankees. So the Yanks had better wake up and understand that they need to improve this team and not try to sit on whatever disgusting laurels they think they have. And I can tell you right now, keeping Cashman and keeping Boone is a death sentence for the 2023 Yankees, next year's team. And I don't care if they re-sign Judge or not. I don't care what other moves they make. I'm telling you right now, and I'm calling it, here on November 9th, 2022, I'm telling you, the 2023 season is done if you think we're winning a World Series. And it might sound ridiculous to say that, right? Silly, stupid. Who's this idiot saying that, you know, they're not going to do anything in 2023? They haven't gone through free agency. You don't know what the team's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm calling it. I'm telling you now, having Cashman and Boone back is a death sentence for the 2023 team. You have to look at the history. Boone, as you know, cannot manage. And I'm not going to go through everything, but the press conference the other day and trying to hear, listening to his mealy-mouthed friggin' answers about his awful players and Donaldson and everything else and his idiotic decisions and why he made them. I mean, honestly, it made me want to throw up. It does. And knowing that he's going to be back next year to make these same stupid decisions and mealy-mouthed answers and resting people when they shouldn't be rested and lefty against righty and inability to properly assess talent, I'm not going to recap all of them. Just get me a bucket because I want to throw up. Cashman also, same way. He cannot build a team anymore. And I like Cashman way more than I like Boone, but his time has come. You know, again, I'm not going to go through them all, but I'll pick one thing. Think back to the last time we had a real shortstop who could field really well and hit really well. I'll give you time. Maybe Didi Gregorius. How long ago was that, right? How many years in a row can you go with not having a real shortstop? Seriously, this did not seem like a deficiency to anyone. Mismanagement of assets, improper assessment of talent. I mean, I could name 20 other things. You know, Cashman has done wrong, and I have on previous podcasts, but I'm not going to go ahead and recap all of them. You know, and that's just in the last year or two, 20 things. But Cashman is clueless. He does not develop the kind of team that wins in 2022, in this modern time. We're getting our ass beat all the time by the Astros. It's embarrassing. George Steinbrenner, if he was alive, would have just, I can't imagine how much his head would have exploded after getting swept by the Astros this year. Could you imagine all the hell that would have been unleashed getting swept out of the playoffs by the Astros if George Steinbrenner was here? Can you possibly imagine celebrating at Yankee Stadium on our field? I can't even imagine. And what does Hal do? Fucking nothing. Hal has no desire to win a championship. He couldn't give a flying shit. He continues to think 90 plus wins is like good enough. Oh, we made the playoffs. We got a few extra revenue games in the playoffs of fans coming in. He thinks that's good enough, as if we're the friggin' A's or Arizona or something. I mean, give me a friggin' break. Hal Steinbrenner, I don't want to hear, oh, you're the fifth highest payroll or the seventh or third, whatever it is. You don't have enough desire to win. And I don't think he understands the legacy of this team and the expectations that come with the previous pedigree of success that this team has. This is the fucking Yankees, guys, you know, continuing to, you know, finish first or second, squeaking into the playoffs, you know, maybe winning a division game. Yeah, who gives a shit? No one cares. To me, this year is the same as if we didn't make the playoffs, right? It doesn't matter. Winning one terrible series against the Guardians, you know, who have a third of our payroll, doesn't mean shit to me. And it shouldn't mean shit to Hal. It certainly would have meant shit to George Steinbrenner. But Hal has no clue. And until Hal gets a desire to win and not just be pretty good, this team will not win any championship. And I'm telling you guys, I'm calling it now. I'm sorry, guys. Prove me wrong. Boone, Cashman, friggin' idiots. Prove me wrong, guys. Fat chance. It ain't going to happen. I'm telling you now. And that's all I have. Thanks for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends all about it. And I will be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks and have a good day.